today on Real Radio.
You've got all these standards that you, at the end of the day, rate your faith to God or not. Am I a believer, Lord? I know I was a believer on Sunday, but the way this Monday ended, I don't know. Listen, please, dear friend, you need to stop thinking like that. You're looking at yourself too much.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way Jesus loves, to seek peace at all times, and that our godly convictions are to be expressed with compassion and respect. Peter understood firsthand just how much Jesus Christ suffered for our sins. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he actually put to death the power of death. Eternal life in heaven with Jesus is possible through his free gift of salvation. This amazing act of selfless sacrifice is good news. Jesus took our death sentence upon himself so that we can live forever with him in paradise. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that many will come to us with a different Christ than who we know from the Bible. Jesus Christ is the one and only Messiah. He willfully suffered for the sake of the gospel, and he loved us enough to shed his blood to save us. And now in his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, this is Jesus, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Verse 17 says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. We're studying Isaiah on Wednesday nights. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. By the way, church, I'll pause right there. Everybody in the synagogue's going, right on. Yeah, right on. You go. You read, Jesus. That's so great. Keep going. Just remember how that morning must have been. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And you can hear him take a breath, and everybody's got their look. Everyone's looking down, and he stops at a comma. And the Bible says, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. That means the teacher is going to teach. When the teacher's taught in the Bible, if I was really biblical, I would sit down right here and teach. That's all the teachers in the Jewish culture, they sit down to teach. I like that. The students, guess what they have to do? Yeah, isn't that great? So let's do that for the next hour. So Jesus sits down and they're wondering, what in the world is he doing? Oy vey, what's happening here? He stops in the middle of a verse. He stops at a comma. He sits down. He's going to say something. This is very strange. And the Bible there says that all the eyes of those who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him, I bet. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Can you imagine? Wow. Everything Isaiah talked about, it's me. And his ministry was underway. Exactly as the prophets foretold. For Christ also, circle the word also. We just came through 3 weeks of teaching in 1 Peter chapter 3 that announces that the Christian must suffer. Every Christian must suffer. You associate with Jesus, the world's going to push back. You already heard about that. But Christ suffered, leaving us an example. And the Bible says this word suffered is remarkable because it's that he willfully suffered. Church, listen, maybe you don't need to know this, but it's out there in case somebody tells you this. It's ridiculous. It's demonic. But there are those in certain seminaries, Christian seminaries, And now there's Christianettes walking around talking about these things where God the Father is guilty of cosmic child abuse. Exactly. And you go, how could that be? Don't you say that God sent his only son to be tortured, crucified, killed? It's cosmic child abuse. Only a demon would think of something so stupid. But it's out there. No, Christ willingly laid his life down for you. He thought enough of you. Thank God, the Bible says, once. He did it once. I'm serious. I'm teaching off of number 18 and 14 and 12 font sizes. And the word once on my notes is 72 font size. Why? Because I must stress that Jesus Christ came to suffer once. Only once, 2,000 years ago. Jesus doesn't suffer every time we have a communion service. Jesus doesn't suffer again and shed his blood because we have some form of transubstantiation. That is not from the Bible. The Bible says that Christ suffered once for our sins. Thank God. The book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Isn't that good news? You should have said amen to that or something. Come. Yep. Get a little excited about that. Romans chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. Once. How awesome is that? How powerful is that? Look what Jesus Christ did, my friend. It's an amazing thing he did. He came and he died for us. And it says in verse 18, the just for the unjust. This statement, the just for the unjust. I don't know how to say this to you, but this is the inversion of, this is the, what's the word? The antithesis of all other religions of all human time. Please hear this. You say, well, that's a big statement. I'd make it bigger if I could. What's the big deal about Jesus? Why should I become a Christian? Number one, of what and for the fact that no other faith-based movement on the planet in human history says that the originator sacrifices himself for the one that is unjust. You will not find this love, this display, manifestation of love anywhere in the universe of all time. That he who is just, he who that is eternal, he who is spirit came among us. The just came among the unjust. The spirit became flesh. And he brought down the mysteries of eternity. And he wanted you to know them. And he wanted to fix what we broke. Wow. You know that saying, you made your bed, so aren't you glad God doesn't say that? Well, you made your bed. Sleep in it. Now, look, if you're not a Christian today, you made your bed and you are sleeping in it. Did you know that? Why does my life stink? Well, maybe you made your bed and you're sleeping in it. You ought to come to Jesus and find out that he forgives sin once and for all, and that you don't have to live in that bed of stupid decisions, rebellion, and sin against God. Amen. By the way, I'm not condemning you. We all used to be there. Raise your hand if you used to be there. I used to make my bed a couple times a day and sleep in it and reap of its disaster. And listen, you're going to go on reaping the disaster of making your own bed, so to speak, your own problems, your own issues, until you see that you've sinned against God. And you repent of that and you come back to him. The Bible says that the just for the unjust, and that Christ paid the price for us. And so this is the absolute inversion of what all other religions preach and teach. It's awesome. So if you think about it, you say, Jack, what is it? Well, first of all, Jesus took my debt owed to God for having broke God's laws. According to the Bible, listen, the moment I sinned, I owed God. How do you pay for your sin? See, watch this. When I sinned, when you sinned, we took from God, as it were, his glory. And God says, you owe me for that. Well, I can't pay you. So number one, I'm in debt. That's why the law is the law of God. That's why the Ten Commandments is what it is, to show you and I that we need him. And then also this, the fact that Jesus then carried my debt to his cross. Remember how Jesus carried the cross literally? Think of that for a moment. There was a lot more going on than Jesus carrying a wooden cross. He was carrying your lies. He was carrying my lies. He was carrying your lustful thoughts. He was carrying my lustful thoughts. He was carrying your temper. He was carrying my temper. He carried all of that. And the Bible says that he went to that cross. And God heaped on him is the word. God put upon him our sin, a debt. And then Jesus paid it. He paid the debt with his own life. It's remarkable. More on that in a moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, a verse that just often seems to weave its way into our studies. I think I'm very fond of that portion of 2 Corinthians 5. If you ever get discouraged, you ought to read it. But the fact that Jesus Christ died for us, but maybe, listen, church, it's more. I should say more about it. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Church, listen, before we keep reading, why would God do this? I want some real answers. Why? Why would God do it? He loved us. Why would he love us? Why? See, it's a little bit more quiet in here right now. Why would he love us? That's a good answer. He made us in his image. The Bible says he set his love upon us. Does your husband or your wife, does your fiance turn to you and say, why have you chosen to love me? Well, it's a decision I made. I don't know. This is like movies are made of this. And God is saying, I have set my love upon you. He just says it. You know what we do? We do what I do. Why? Can you tell me why? Can you list 10 things why? God says, I wrote like a couple of 3,000 pages of whys right here. It's amazing. So verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Verse 19 says, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, no longer registering their sins or trespasses to them. For he made him, Christ Jesus, that is, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is a remarkable statement. Listen to me clearly. It means this. God the Father, who is holy and just, who has created mankind in his own moral likeness, his own image, in God's redemptive act, Jesus, think about this. Jesus, from Old and New Testament, old and new, it is recorded in Scripture that God loves his Son. In Proverbs 30, verse 4, God attributes his own management of the universe to being co-managed with his Son. In Psalm 2, God says that when the nations attack God, they're attacking the Father and they're attacking his Son. Isn't that interesting? The Bible there says, you better repent and kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he become angry and he'll smite you. In judgment. Wow. God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus Christ died for lost humanity to reconcile us back to God. Watch my hands. Watch my reenactment here of this. God sends his Son to die on the cross for us. And he brings us to this place of redemption. So let's put it here, top dead center, right here. Watch. Jesus died for the lost. Jesus died for God. Jesus died for lost man to bring lost man here. And Jesus died for God to bring the righteousness and holiness and purity of God here. The very word reconciliation means to bring or to pull both together. It's not one-sided. Jesus died for mankind's sins. Jesus died to enable God's righteousness to be revealed to man. You understand? Do you hear that? It's a theological statement not often made. Christ died for God and man. Why? To bring us both together. That's why he had to be the God-man. God revealed to us in human flesh. It's awesome. Secondly, look at verse 18. What Jesus Christ did for us is an amazing thing for sure, and because it brings you and I into his presence. It says that he might bring us to God. And this is so much fun. Get your pen ready. That he might bring us to God. This is the why, by the way. This is the why factor. Why did Jesus die for me? It is to bring us to God, what I just showed you a moment ago. If you were to ask Jesus, I mean this reverently, Jesus, you are about ready to go to the cross. Why are you doing this? Jesus would have answered, according to the scriptures, he spoke scripture. He is scripture. He said, I'm doing this that I might bring man to God. I got to take care of the sin issue. The word bring here is the word to lead. It's very big. Watch this word. It means just not bring. It means to lead. It means to approach you. It means to receive you. Watch this. Watch how it snowballs. It means to bring you or to have you be brought. If this stage was built differently, it would be that I would just reach over and I would grab you. Look, I would come to you. I would reach out and grab you. I would pull you up on stage. I would bring you up here. I would present you to the people. Do you see what this is saying? That he brings us. The work is of Jesus. God is doing this work. Oh, Pastor, I don't think I pray enough. I don't think I witness enough. I always living under a cloud. And then I ask you this, do you love the Lord? I love the Lord. Is he your Lord and Savior? He's my Lord and Savior. Listen, can you rest in that reality and let him do with you what he wants to do? Oh yeah, but I got all these things that I've set as markers and achievements in my, I don't know if you're like that or not, but that's a tough way to live. You've got all these standards that you, at the end of the day, rate your faith to God or not. Am I a believer, Lord? I know I was a believer on Sunday, but the way this Monday ended, I don't know. Listen, please, dear friend, you need to stop thinking like that. You're looking at yourself too much. Listen, the Bible says in 1 John, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Isn't that awesome? Remember, the Bible says that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Philippians 1:6 tells us. He will do that thing concerning you. Psalm 138 says that he will not give up on the work of his hands. That's you. He's going to do it. And this bringing us to God is the work of Christ. And it's awesome. And the whole thing, listen, is that Jesus wants you in heaven with the Father. Oh, I want to go. Well, that's cute, and so you should, but it ain't nothing compared to how bad Jesus wants you there. Did you know that God wants you in heaven more than you want to be there? Cheer up. You know what? I don't know if I'm any different. You're different. We meet people all the time who, they don't want to go to heaven. God is not in their life. It's not their desire. Or they create their own heaven. Nope, I don't want God's heaven. I want this kind of heaven. No, listen. It's the desire of God through Christ Jesus to bring you into the presence of Almighty God. By the way, this is a navigational term. It means to not only lay hold of somebody. Imagine Christ reaches out and grabs hold of you. But he brings you, he leads you along the way. This bringing is Jesus bringing you to God. It's him navigating. He's out front. Isn't that nice? Think of it. You and I, so to speak, live in the dark. We need the light of God. But the Bible tells us regarding his word in Psalm 119 that his word is a light and a lamp unto our feet and to the path of life. So watch this. It's as though Jesus has got your hand. Are you watching? He's got your hand. He's holding your hand. He's holding a lantern and he's walking, and all you do is follow him. Amen. You hang on to his hand. He's hanging on to yours. By the way, even if his hand, if your hand begins to slip, you know what you feel him do? We all feel this. You'll feel him reassess that grip. Have you noticed that in life when you start to sink a little bit, start to slip a little bit, he gets you? That's what he's doing. According to the Bible, Jesus brought you and I into the world. He gave us life. According to the Bible, Jesus is constantly inviting all men and women, boys and girls, to come to him. And according to the Bible, Jesus promised that once you come to him, he'll never leave you. In John 6, verse 44, Jesus says, nobody can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but people are perishing. Why? Because they won't come to him. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, listen to this. Jesus said, do not fear, little flock. Wouldn't you love to hear him say that? Don't fear, little flock. Don't be afraid, little lamb. You sheeps, you. Don't be afraid, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You need to memorize that verse. But there's more. This is a word, this bring is a word that is used also to bring someone who's condemned before the magistrate or the judge. Yikes. The word bring. So watch. Jesus reaches out to you, maybe today, and he says, I'm here to tell you that my Father wants you in heaven and that I died on the cross 2,000 years ago for your sins and I rose again from the dead. You can't save yourself. I did that at the cross, but it will never help you. It will never benefit you. You're absolutely en route to hell unless you reach out and grab my hand. Jesus is reaching to you and he's saying, take my hand. Grab my hand. And he brings you the condemned, me, the condemned sinner. He brings us, and in so bringing us, he's ahead of us with that lamp. By virtue of the fact of you taking his hand in salvation, he brings you to the Father. And who's the first one the Father sees? Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, with a message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today, and let's go beyond our personal comfort by sharing what Christ did for our sake and for the sake of others. Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Can you imagine if there was live streaming available back in Peter's day to witness the passion and the fervor with which Peter spoke to those gathered there? You gotta admit, that would truly be remarkable. Still, whatever is possible right now will soon be obsolete compared to what's coming in the future. That's why Pastor Jack is constantly changing formats to keep up with the newest trends on social media. When you go to our website, jackhibbs.com, you'll find easy access to videos, Real Radio broadcasts, devotions, as well as live streams from his YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. So head on over to our website, jackhibbs.com, to get all that Pastor Jack has to offer. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.